Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Aledio.com Sports Station. Two Wisconsin guys talking Wisconsin sports in the morning. Broadcasting live on the Radio.com app, 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's time for Chuck and Winkler in the Morning, live from the Bryant and Stratton Bobcat Studios.
Yes, it is 3 hours in the books. One more to go here on Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletics Studios. He's Chuck Freeman, filling in for Bart Winkler. I am Ryan Horvat, and on the line right now, Radio.com Sports MLB insider Bob Nightingale. You could also find his work at USA Today. As always, insider calls brought to you by Indeed. Post the job today at Indeed.com/hire. Bob, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
Bob, so, okay, I just read your piece in USA Today. I want to hit on that a little bit. But first, we got to start off on a sour note here in Milwaukee. The Cardinals have all of a sudden won 9 of their last 11 games. They play a ton of home games to close the season. Should they be the favorites right now to win the NL Central, or do you see the Brewers or the Cubs maybe making a run?
That's something the Cubs are the favorites. You know, they have by far the most talent. I just think they're underachieving. At some point, you keep waiting for them to take off. And they're the only team of the three that were aggressive at the trade deadline, and the Cardinals didn't do anything. You know, Brewers just did a little bit. But, yeah, I still think the Cubs win this thing.
Are the Brewers underachieving?
They just don't have the pitching. You know, I don't know what they were doing. You know, when they let, you know, a guy like Wade Miley go at the, you know, during the winter, and never, you know, never got those pitchers. I think they relied on some guys to, the young guys. It was a mistake. So, you know, they weren't aggressive at the trade deadline either. So I just think it was a flawed team. I don't think they're underachieving. I just don't think they have the talent to keep up with the Cubs and Cardinals.
Bob, what would it take for a team like the Brewers? You just mentioned they don't really have the talent. They don't have the big names outside of maybe Christian Yelich. They definitely don't have the pitching or the bullpen. What would it take for them to get hot, you think, maybe here at end of August and early September, and maybe make a run at this division? Or is it just a lost season at this point?
I don't see them having the pitching to keep up. I mean, offensively, yeah, they're fine. I mean, you know, a couple of guys, you know, Keane aren't having the best of years, but just the pitching's kept them down. You know, you can't, you know, you get rely on Hader. Hader had a superhuman year last year. You know, and now you know, some mistakes happen, and you know, he's not that guy. You know, besides, you can't pitch him every night. I just don't think they have the pitching to keep up.
You know, with Hader, the way he's blown saves in four of his last five games, he's given up more home runs than he's ever given up in a limited amount of innings, and we're not even done with the season. But they are overusing him, but the home run, the inning ratio is not very good. Do you look at it, the guy, he's got to develop another pitch at this point, overuse? What's going on, do you think, there?
Well, I just think, you know, he's fooled everybody last year by, you know, having such a phenomenal year. And, you know, throws that high fastball with the way the ball is juiced up this year. You know, guys kind of wait on it. You can hit it out. I mean, so, you know, even guys like Justin Verlander have given up more home runs than before. But, yeah, just not enough people around him. Obviously, Knebel's injury hurt having him out for the year. Jeffress hasn't been that same guy. So, you know, and I just do think he's been, overexposed a little bit. So, yeah, I just think it's a matter of just not having the weapons around them.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We're on the line right now with Radio.com Sports MLB insider Bob Nightingale. Bob, the most discouraging thing, I think, in Milwaukee is that we just look at this roster, and I don't even know if they're set up to win here in the next few years outside of Christian Yelich, maybe Keston Hira. Not a whole lot of young prospects. Who do you think has the brightest future in the NL Central to contend for the next 4 to 5 years? Cubs are getting a little bit older. I really like that Reds rotation.
Yeah, you know, the Reds are, nice team, and yeah, they're built up to win next year with the pitching staff. You know, it's probably still you know, goes to the Cardinals. The Cardinals do a better job developing their young players, you know, than any team in baseball, probably. You know, they just come up, get the job done, and play and perform well. You're right. I think the Cubs' window is starting to close here a little bit. So, yeah, I would think still the St. Louis Cardinals and the, you know, in the Reds are coming on. So, I might think the Brewers would be fine. It's just they got to get some pitching depth.
Yeah, well, I mean, if they lose Grandal, they lose Moustakas, the Arcia can't turn it around. Travis Shaw was failed. The first base spot might be open next year. I mean, you really have Hira and Yelich to build on with the other eight guys that are surrounding the pitcher. I mean, and I look at the farm system. The farm system is bleeding. I'm like, where the hell the Brewers going to be going here the next couple of years?
Yeah, I just think it starts with the pitcher. You know, the young guys took a step back, and I think that, you know, kind of on them way too heavily to think that they're going to, you know, step in and do a great job. So I do think some of the young guys bounce back. We'll see. I think Lorenzo Cain will have a better year next year. It is easier to find a first baseman to hit. You know, they're not afraid to do that. But I still think it starts with the pitching.
We're talking with Bob Nightingale. You can find his work on Radio.com Sports as well as USA Today. And, Bob, I just finished reading your piece actually yesterday that came out on Monday where you discussed the current state of baseball. A lot of great stuff in there. What did you learn that surprised you the most when you're talking to a former manager like Lou Piniella or a former player like Pete Rose who say they struggle to watch the game right now?
Yeah, you know, I just keep hearing it. I mean, you hear it from, you know, baseball people, scouts. Even Joe Torre was blasting the game, you know, in a trip in London last month. I think just people are tired of seeing the home run derby night after night. I mean, it's almost, you know, we saw that when the Brewers were playing in Washington. It's just, you know, I think people are sick of seeing that kind of baseball. They'd rather see some hit and runs and people doing little things. Is the way baseball, you know, was meant to be played, instead of just everybody, you know, sitting back and either hitting a home run or striking out.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that because I miss the stolen bases, you know, just trying to hit with runners in scoring position, even a sacrifice bunt every once in a while. What do you think Major League Baseball could do to fix the game? Like, what needs to be fixed? Is it robot umps? Is it pace of play? What could they do? What's the number one thing you think that would maybe fix Major League Baseball in 2020?
Well, one thing you have to do is kind of, you know, get into baseball. You know, it's just a, you can't have it flying out like it is. And because the way it is now, you know, it kind of encourages hitters just to sit back and see if they can hit home runs. I mean, it's become a point now where the home run records, you know, mean nothing. You know, it's like if people are upset in the steroid era with all the home runs, what do the home runs mean this year? Everybody's breaking record every single night. So I think you did in baseball. I would like to see something, you know, involving the shift. So maybe, you know, guys can't, you know, take away hits, you know, like they used to. I don't think the umpires make a difference. I mean, they're still, you know, very good. And those robot umps, I mean, that thing's not working either. Mm-hmm. You know, even you watch instant replay in baseball. You know, a lot of times you can't tell whether the call was correct or not. They just don't have the technology to do that right now.
What have they done?
I just think, I don't know what they can do, but something's got to be done just to get back to just regular baseball. You know?
So the baseball's not different from what it used to be, and you feel like they've pumped it up, they've added steroids to the baseball, or what have they done to the ball?
Yeah, the baseball is certainly different. I mean, you see guys night after night kind of throw their bat down in disgust, and they think they pop it up, and the ball's going over the fence. So, yeah, they got to do something with the baseball to get it back to normal. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, you know, with the way everybody's hitting, you know, 30, 40 home runs a year, you know, right now, we're seeing rookies hit. Well, we had three rookies hit three home runs in a game the last week. You know, no two rookies have ever done that in an entire season. Last week, there were more home runs hit than any week before in baseball history. So, yeah, they got to get the baseball back to normal to start with.
See, I'm wondering if the pitching is just so bad that that's the reason why these numbers are up.
Well, I do think the pitching depth is poor. And I think one of the problems is all guys do is sit back and throw as hard as they can without guys really trying to paint the corners and really pitch. You know, guys like, you know, look at a guy like Zach Greinke. He doesn't throw nearly as hard as he did when he was with the Brewers. But he's, you know, a better pitcher now. He just knows how to pitch.
Bob, we look at the National League, and I'm focused on the NL Central because we're here in Milwaukee, but we've kind of given up hope on the Brewers being able to make another run to the NLCS. But can you see any team in the National League able to compete with the Dodgers or beat the Dodgers in a seven-game series? Or is this finally the year maybe they get over the hump? Not only do they get to the World Series for the 1,500th year, but they actually win it this time.
Well, there's certainly a major surprise if they don't get to the World Series. One thing you worry about if you're a Dodger fan is still that bullpen. And then getting bullpen help. Kenley Jansen isn't the same guy as a year ago. We'll see. I mean, if you look around the National League, if you know the Nationals, if they get in, you know they could do some damage there with Scherzer, Strasburg, and Patrick Corbin. Even the Cubs with that rotation is so up and down. But when they're on, they can hurt you. Atlanta Braves are kind of a smoky team. So we'll see. But yeah, I mean, on paper, once again, it should be Dodgers and Houston Astros.
That was Radio.com Sports MLB Insider Bob Nightingale. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed. Post the job at Indeed.com/hire. Thanks, Bob.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you.
Bob Nightingale, you could find his work at USA Today, also on the Radio.com Sports app. He does a lot of tremendous work right there. So, Frames, I'm telling you, man, the balls are juiced.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really buy into it. I think the pitching is just awful. Just awful. Just curious, how long do you want to live? What do you think is a good age to live?
It's a tough question, actually. I mean, I want to live because I have children, well, a child, to 100 to see him accomplish all of his life goals. But
and
at
you
the
got
same
a lovely
point,
wife, yes?
But at the same point, man, like I see...
What do you think is good ages?
Oh, man, I don't
like there's
know.
Some people 80? Think like anything after 80 is, borrowed time.
Yeah, my great-grandmother's still around. She's going to turn 101 years old, actually, in 2 weeks here. I don't know that I want to live to be 100 years old.
Okay, on that same vein right there, Sister Jean from Loyola turns 100 today. 100 years old. My gosh, how awesome. Living right now.
Want to live to 100? Well, she got to see a Final Four berth for Loyola, so I'm sure she's happy to make it.
Well, man. If I knew I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself. So, as the old expression goes. No, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you're in, I think today, though, I mean, if you keep yourself in shape and, be active, think, have positive thinking and think well and all that. Yeah, you can live. Well, I just feel like women way outlive guys. I mean, you see more widows out there than widowers. And, she's lived a good life, man, and she's in a wheelchair, but she can get up if she has to. 100 years old. That is amazing, man.
It really
is. To live 100.
The problem is that's
some good history in your family too.
The problem is if you live to 100 years old, you could face the same situation that Larry King's going through, and that's he was just divorced for the 7th time now after 22 years of marriage. Larry King, who's about 150 years old, 22 years of marriage. This is his 7th divorce, Frames. He's got you beat.
So he was married to this one for 22 years?
Yeah, which really makes you question how old Larry King really is, because 22 years and this is his 7th wife.
Now, Larry King, talk show host, from the old Mutual Radio.
Yeah.
And did a CNN. I don't even know what he's doing these days. But, smart guy. Okay, whether you agree with him or not, smart guy. But what makes a person get married 7 times? What happens?
I can't really tell you why somebody gets married one time.
7 times. Now, come on. I mean, one time. I mean, if you might find the right person, right. Yeah, I've been married twice. All right. First time, she wasn't my type.
You were young.
Nah, I was 29. I was your age, but you're a few years older than that, but I was about your age when you got married.
People go through that first divorce, they say, well, we were young.
Yeah. Second one was, it was a joke.
She sucked.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. But really, I mean, it was a hoax. Anything. I want to ask you, actually, we come back out of the break. What is going on with women your age?
Women my age?
And yes. What is going on? Maybe you have some answers for me. Because I just learned something this weekend, man. Ran into some guys golfing up in Escanaba. Big listeners to the show.
Yeah.
God, it confirmed a lot of things that I thought was true, and it's true, man. Right, and I'm going to ask you, man.
We'll get to that next. It's Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Now, a Chili's Green and Gold update, presented by Chili's 3 for $10 deal and the Radisson Hotel and Conference Center, Green Bay. Here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers are headed to Manitoba to play the Raiders in Winnipeg. This is the third time Green Bay has played in a preseason game out of the country. In 1998, the Pack played the Chiefs in Tokyo. The year before, they faced the Bills in Toronto. For many of the players, it's their first time out of the country. Running back Jamal Williams on getting a passport.
It's just like a good experience. You know what I mean? First time going through getting my passport. Now I get to use it already. I can't wait. I think it'll be fun. I think I've never been to Canada. I think it's the first experience for a lot of players. So I think it'll just be fun to be in another country, Canada for sure. I want to look at some goose. I want to see a goose fly. For some reason, I feel like it's already cold. Like, it's like Alaska cold.
The forecast for Winnipeg is sunny and a high of 73. The Packers need to get their running game going this third game of training camp. Running back Aaron Jones is expected to make his first appearance of the preseason.
I think we're going to establish the run game, come out and run the ball, and you'll see how it's supposed to be ran, like the outside zone, inside zone, and just different things. And I'm excited to run behind those big guys. Been waiting to run behind them, so.
How much will he play? Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Aaron Jones? I anticipate him playing a series or so.
And I asked Tremont Williams if his teammates have talked about the Raiders being all mic'd up by the HBO film crew for Hard Knocks.
I'm pretty sure when guys watch Hard Knocks, they'll definitely be like, oh man, we finna be on Hard Knocks. But it's not like we don't play on Sundays. We're on TV all the time. So it's not about the Green Bay Packers. It's about the Oakland Raiders anyway. I pay a lot of attention to Groot, man, and his personality. And I like his personality, man. I like what I see from him. Seemed like a great guy.
More at 1057FMTheFan.com.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Bakeries and Restaurants. 414-799-1250. Still some time to jump on the program today. Also time for the 13th annual Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries Fan Charity Golf Outing. It's going to benefit Give Kids the World. Coming up September 25th at the beautiful Western Lakes Golf Club in Pewaukee, your chance to golf with guys like Freems, Bill Michaels, Gary Ellerson, former Packer and Badger, Leroy Butler, and other local celebrities. Just $125, great day of golfing. You get breakfast, lunch, and dinner from Perkins, Robert Specialty Meats, and Saz's. All the details available now. Be sure to sign up right now, today, here on Wednesday, 1057FMTheFan.com, and maybe you'll have a chance to be in a foursome with Chuck Freeman.
Yeah, I'm going to get out there before. I usually golf it like a couple times a year. I haven't been out there yet this year, but I want to golf it before the golf outing. Go out there and, you know, reacquaint myself with the lay of the land out there. I love it. I love golfing out there. It's probably one of the first places I've ever golfed.
Really?
Yeah.
How old were you when you golfed for the first time?
I didn't really take up golf until like 35. I hated golf when I was a kid.
I think everybody when they're young does. I got into it because Tiger Woods kind of made it cool.
And then what happened, one day I went, a buddy of mine was getting married a second time. And he said, hey, we're going to have a little get-together golf outing. You know, there's a few of us are going to get a go. You want to go? I said, oh, okay. It was like a Sunday of Memorial Day weekend. So we went out there and golfed. And I was like, yeah, I had a couple of nice. I mean, I'd golfed sparingly before. Had a couple of nice shots with borrowed clubs. So, like, the next day we went out again on Memorial Day. And then, like, that Tuesday I was out at the range. And, you know, I was using borrowed clubs again. And then by Thursday, I was at Golf Galaxy buying clubs, and then I'm all in, and I haven't stopped. So this was, you know, when I was 35, you know, 17 years ago. So now I love it, and it's wonderful sport. I don't know why. I wish I would. If I had a chance to do it all over, I would have played when I was young.
Well, it's an expensive sport though, so you can't really play when you're young. You know what
it
I mean?
It is, but I mean, if you but there's memberships out there you can get that if you're young. And you have a job, which most young people should have a job. If they're in high school, you should have a job. Okay, you go out there, get off your ass, get a job this summer.
Yeah.
Parents, get after that son or daughter of yours and get them working, man. Get off those phones and get a job like the rest of us did.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you can get you can get summer memberships for college kids, high school kids. If they're into it enough and they're going to take advantage of it, yeah, you can go. But I think like I got a membership. golf membership at I'm up at Camelot, but I mean I try to golf as much as possible, man. You can get good use of it. But back to our outing, Western Lakes, wonderful track, $125. That's a really nice price for a golf outing with all the benefits you get out of it, and the food that we feed you, and you'll walk away with a great day of golf. We're going to be broadcasting our show from 6 to 10, and trust me, you'll be full when you leave that place because the good food that we have out there, led by Paul Roberts at Roberts Specialty Meats. Can't wait for the day, September 25th.
Speaking of golf, you were on the golf course this weekend, and you found out something about women my age.
And I've been dying to ask you this, Harvey.
Okay.
And the first chance that we've had to do this. I was on the course. I was up at the Sweetgrass up in Escanaba, a little bit south of Escanaba. And I'm on the course, and you're thinking Escanaba, Michigan. You're not going to run into any listeners out there. So I'm coming off one hole, going to the next hole, and a foursome, might have been five guys at a hole, our friends. And I'm like, no way.
Really?
They weren't hollering at me. And then all of a sudden, ran into those guys later on the night with several other guys that were up there for a bachelor party, listeners to this show. And we were just talking. Guys were in the mid-30s. Guy was getting married. And guy who was arranging the bachelor party was telling me how difficult it was to get guys to go for a weekend bachelor party because their wives and or their girlfriends would not let them go.
Really?
Yes. And I said, is this a problem? And he said, you'll be surprised. There are guys who are running scared of their wives or girlfriends. Their girlfriends, one guy, his wife, who he was married for like 5 years, set a limit on the amount of money he could spend up there. It was unbelievable, some of the stories I was hearing. And I'm like, you got to be kidding. He goes, Chuck, it's true. The pain is real out there. He said, the women in their 30s, man, they run the show. These guys are jumping. Guys, don't do that. Now, I want to ask you, Horvey, is it as bad as these guys make it out to be? I was golfing last night. I was golfing in a league before the Brewer game, and I said, a guy was telling me, he said, yeah. He said, well, he goes, he made a bad shot. And he says, yeah, that's what happens when you golf once a week. And he's a good golfer. I said, once a week? What do you mean once a week? You're only golfing once a week? He goes, that's all my wife will let me golf. And
yeah.
I said, you got to be kidding me. Yeah, so I feel like, man, like the women my age, 40s, early 50s or whatever, they're a little bit more laid back and, they're not as much, hey, if you want to go golfing a couple of times a week or if you want to do something, they're, go to the Brewer game, take them with, whatever. They're a little bit more liberal about those things. But what's with the 20 and 30-something-year-old women? Are they just... are they on a power trip or what? What's going on there? And are guys afraid of them or what?
So I think that it goes, okay, so there's a lot to unpack in that one. First off, with the bachelor party thing, it's funny that you bring that up because what a lot of guys are doing nowadays, and luckily none of my friends, we go to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of our excuse. In fact, we were just talking about this a couple weeks ago. We're like, man, everybody's married now. What's going to be our excuse to go to Vegas in August? And somebody mm-hmm. was like, well, Horvath could get divorced. And we could celebrate his divorce.
Oh, no.
Like as a joke because everybody's allowed to do it. But what a lot of guys are doing and girls and women are doing these days is joint bachelor and bachelorette parties where like you go to Vegas, but you go with like eight of your buddies and then eight of her friends.
Well, you know what?
That's not the Vegas I want to be in, Frames.
Okay, but you know what though? I mean, I'm there's nothing wrong with combined parties.
There is.
No, see if I'm going somewhere or whatever. She had it coming along. She fits right. I have no problem with that. Or if I'm going with her and she's hanging with her, I don't have any problem with that. It's just that the deal was these girls wouldn't let their guys go.
Well, see, that's the thing.
Didn't want them to go or won't let them go to a ball game or don't want them. They're just like are really just, just nasty. And it's like, why would you want to be in a relationship like that?
Well, because they don't trust men anymore, and it's because, like, this whole Instagram era, like, girls and men out there, it's, nobody trusts anybody. Everybody's cheating on everybody.
Is it the trust thing?
I think it's a lot of trust. Yeah, like, a lot of my, I do have some buddies that weren't able to go to my bachelor party, and I'm almost done with those guys,
Is it because their girlfriends or wives don't trust them?
Yeah.
Or is it because that they, these women are just so controlling that they, I mean, if it's a trust thing, that's one thing.
My favorite quote from one of my friends, now wife, at the time she was just his fiance, but she said, "You are not going to Las Vegas for 5 days without me with Ryan Horvath." So I was actually to blame because I have it made, man. My wife allows me to do whatever I want. And when we started dating, I said that because we had some buddies and they were on the leash. And I said, mm-hmm. You know, I'm just not going to live my life like that. You could trust me. I'm not going to do anything to, you know, take away that trust. I'm not going to cheat on you, but I want to go to Las Vegas. I want to play the tables. I maybe want to go to Spearmint Rhino. I maybe want to check out some chicks. We do the pool parties. I want to flirt a little bit, maybe talk to some girls.
Well,
I didn't really say it like that.
You don't want to do that.
I didn't want to say it like that.
No, no. I mean, no, not,
I just want to go gamble.
Doing, now, if you're doing those sort of things, then I completely understand where the women are coming from. Well, now, if it's a cheating thing, I can completely understand. Okay. Where the women are, you have some questions. But if it's not that, then what's the problem?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I feel like with some of the girls, I'm trying to put this very nicely, that my friends date at least, like they don't have their own life. Like their life when they started dating, like I hate, everybody has that buddy that everywhere you go, you guys could go to a ball game, you know, you could go to a bar, a club, and their girlfriend always has to be with them. Even when it's guys' night, there's that one girl that's always tagging along. Well, I'll be the designated driver. I'll just sit in the corner. You won't even know I'm there. No, we do know you're there, though. We do know you're there because I'm not going to be cheating or, like, doing anything to get myself in trouble. But just, like, the conversation that guys even have. You know, just guys being guys, locker room talk. I don't want to do that with Shelly over in the corner, to be quite honest
with
you.
That's my first wife's name, okay?
Shelly? Yeah. Is that the softball one? Is that the third baseman?
Left fielder, yes.
Left fielder, sorry.
Yeah, nice girl, just wasn't my type.
Just couldn't hit with runners in scoring position.
No, nothing bad. We just, I'd say let's go north, and she'd say let's go. Well, I don't mean that in a sexual way. I'd just say travel wise. I mean, the way to get here is to go north, and she'd go south or whatever.
Right, right. No, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely there, man. Like guys aren't allowed to do a whole bunch. I have a cousin, actually. My best friend growing up just happens to be my cousin. He's 2 years older than me. We used to get in a lot of trouble. We'd go to concerts all the time. We've seen Dave Matthews Band like 45 different times. We'd go to Alpine Valley. We'd go to concerts we didn't even really want to go to, just to go party at Alpine Valley for a week. Now, all of a sudden, he's not allowed to do anything. He couldn't come to Las Vegas for my bachelor party. He can't even go to a Cubs game or a Cubs Brewers series.
Now, why is that?
Well, he has... She has trust issues maybe for a few reasons, but still.
Oh, then that's...
Like,
then,
why marry somebody or be with somebody if you can't trust them? That's what I always told my wife. If you can't trust me, don't marry. Why would you want to be with somebody that you don't trust?
But I didn't feel like the situation I was telling you when these guys at this bachelor party where their wives or their girlfriends didn't want them to go or wouldn't let them go, I don't think it was a... I mean, we're talking Escanaba, Michigan.
Maybe it's a money issue, or maybe they just have no lives outside of their boyfriend, so they need to spend all their time
with them. Is that sometimes the case? Okay.
Yeah, like
because you know, like if I feel like women my age, they're you know I mean they'll I mean I think like in the 40s and early 50s, guys and girls we do as couples do a lot of more couple things.
Well, I have this theory that all women hate other women, like girls don't like other girls. At least every girl that I know and like grew up with.
Yeah.
I have a select friend group of all just women, all girls. There's 10 of them. Mm-hmm. And they all hang out together.
Well,
but then they all talk crap about each other behind their back. Like, oh, I can't believe Kelly's coming. I don't even really like Kelly.
Oh, God, yeah. They'll run into each other in a mall. You'll be walking through a mall with your woman, and you run into somebody. You'll be, oh, hi, how you doing? Oh, we got to get together. And then you'll be walking, God.
That bitch.
That, yeah.
You know?
That
exactly,
yatch, yes. Exactly. Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. I agree with you on that.
Let's go out to Milton and talk to Andrew. He's got a story for us. What's up, Andrew?
Hi, Andy.
Hey, so me and all of my guy friends, we're all in our 30s, and all of us have kids anywhere between the ages of 2 and, like, 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime that any of us want to be able to go out and do anything together, it's on a very limited basis on what we're allowed to do because the wives don't want to be stuck at home with the kids while we're out having. So, like, that's kind of where... I understand why the women are acting that way is because that's what I'm used to is like there's limits set on everything based on who's stuck at home with the kids.
Although, Andrew, so. When you say stuck at home with the kids, I feel like, Andrew, women today in their 20s and 30s, they care more about the kids than the husband anyway or the boyfriend. I mean, I look at Facebook and I see women who I know or I went to college with or high school with or I just know and, you know, they're married, got a boyfriend, and there's pictures of them and their kids, and you wouldn't even think that they're married. And I'm like, why? You know, where's the? How come there's never a picture of my feet with you and your husband? You know, it's just, yeah. You know, I got relatives the same way. Same way, you know, they got the pictures. It's like, I know one woman in the family, you know, you wouldn't even think that she's married. Pictures of her kids. She's got a picture with her and another woman on her Facebook page. It's like, where the hell's her husband?
Yeah, where is he?
Yeah.
Like Waldo.
I mean, you feel
missing.
That. So I don't know. I mean, I just feel like women maybe are just more that are kids than their husband anyway.
Thanks for the call, Andrew.
20s and 30s.
One thing,
and
that...
maybe the guy has something to do with it. Maybe he's just the sleeping pill of a guy to be with.
Yeah, we got some other pills for the men. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But Frames, one thing that you got to love about your woman is that, you know, maybe she doesn't want you going to the nightclubs at this stage of your life, but she does allow you to go outside and fire up that grill and throw those ribs on a stick. You got the Al Capone burgers, which we had for Bart's, whatever party that is when you have a kid. We had them, and those, that's the first time I ever had those burgers. Oh,
that was
my
like
God,
the baby,
mouth was watering,
that was a baby
man.
Shower, right?
A baby shower. There you go.
And
couldn't think of what it was.
Yeah, that was a baby shower. You know, Paul Roberts was here for that. Because he was serving up the ribs on a stick from Robert's Specialty Meats. But, you know, ribs on a stick are great to have anytime. Not for just a baby shower. Ribs on a stick from Paul Roberts at Robert's Specialty Meats, Sunset Drive in Waukesha. Player, I've been telling you about this for years, about how good Roberts is and, you know, all the different types of meats that they have there. And Paul Roberts is certainly going to help you. Labor Day is coming up fast. I know, you know, people have relatives over and all that. Roberts ribs on a stick, perfect for that relative get-together or friends coming over or whatever. He's got the USDA steaks, prime beef tenderloins, gourmet burgers, the half-pound burgers, whatever kind of gourmet burger you want, they have it there. But I love the beef brisket burger over at Paul Roberts. All this and more, plus 30 varieties of sausages and brats. They got the marinated chicken skewers as well. And barbecue, garlic parmesan, Door County cherry. I feel like the popular, marinated chicken skewers kind of fly under the radar a little bit, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I talk so much about the ribs on a stick, man, the boneless pork ribs, but the marinated chicken skewers, man, those are fantastic as well. All at Roberts Specialty Meats in Waukesha. Paul Roberts, man, he's the king of kings over there. 262-549-MEAT. He is the mayor of Sunset Drive in Waukesha. You go to this place, man, you got people there. He's always friendly with the customers and all that. And the staff is great as well. Robert's Special Meats, Waukesha.com is the website. You might even see old Freems there hanging out. I like to go out there and hang out, Paul, and talk with the customers. I always run into listeners over there. Run into listeners. Usually they're standing right in front of the counter there, ordering up some ribs on a stick. And I always tell the guy, hey, make sure you leave some for me, man. And we got to take a few home. But I always get like 3 or 4 pounds of ribs on a stick.
It's got to.
For the best of meats, it's Robert's Specialty Meats in Waukesha, your hometown butcher, south side of town, USDA steaks, tenderloins, gourmet burgers, and of course, the Robert's Ribs on a Stick. Player, there is no better place for all your meat selection than Robert's Specialty Meats in Waukesha on Sunset Drive. Easy to get to. Whatever kind of garbage truck you drive, it's easy to get to on the south side of Waukesha.
I'm starving now, and there's also a story that we have not got to involving the Wisconsin Badgers. We'll get to that next. It's Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. He is Chuck Freeman. I'm Ryan Horvath, filling in for Bart Winkler. Bart will rejoin the team coming up on Monday on assignment right now, a very, very special assignment, as our little Bart has become a father. Nick Bodie, producing the show, will join us here for the final segment. Let us know what we missed. We're going to talk some Badger football. But first, Freems, I got a text. And I think he wanted me to keep it personal, but it's a buddy. He lives in Illinois, so he's not listening right now. He's at work. He said, what is this I keep hearing about this Blue Chew? I've tried pretty much everything. I'm too young for these problems. Help me out in the bedroom before my wife leaves me for a guy as sophisticated and good-looking as yourself.
Oh, me or you?
Me.
Oh, you. Okay.
Well, both of us.
Both of us are pretty sophisticated guys.
Yeah.
BlueChew.com is the right way to go, player. BlueChew.com. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Works twice as fast as well. Chewables from BlueChew.com can take care of your problem at any age, man. At any age. Hey, you know what? Maybe that story I was telling you a little while ago about those guys who their wives and girlfriends were not happy.
It's probably got a lot more to do with than the bachelor party.
You know what I'm saying? You know, if they, you make these women a lot more happier if you were able to get the job done where it counts, man. And BlueChew.com can take you in that right direction. No in-person doctor visits, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. You go to BlueChew.com, you visit an affiliated physician online. If you qualify, you get prescribed quickly online. It is that easy. Here's the deal for you. Visit BlueChew.com, get your first order free when you use the promo code Chuck. Yep, promo code Chuck, pay the $5 in shipping, and that is it. BlueChew, BlueChew.com, promo code Chuck. And player, you want to be a player with a capital P for your PP, BlueChew.com, promo code Chuck. No laughing matter, guys.
No, it's really not, but I just wasn't expecting that.
With BlueChew, BlueChew.com.
All right, so Nick Bodey joins us for the final segment here.
That's what we call it in our house with our eight-year-old.
You know what? I use that word all the time, too, and my wife's like, pee-pee. And
I'm we call it pee-pee.
What do you want me to say?
Yes.
Right, that's what you say. Yes. Under the age of 10, pee-pee is
pee-pee.
Totally fine. Anyway, Nick Bodey, who's producing the show, filling in for myself, who is filling in for Bart Winkler, who is filling in for who knows. AP polls released. College football week zero actually begins Saturday. We get a taste of college football. We get Miami and Florida battling in a week zero matchup. But the AP polls come out for the first time ever, preseason ranking Clemson number one. No big surprise right there. The defending national champs. Number two, Alabama. No big surprise right there. Georgia, number three. No big surprise there. Oklahoma, number four. Number five, Ohio State. About what we expect in the top five.
Mm-hmm.
Your Wisconsin Badgers, they come in at 19?
Yes, yes they do.
Too high or too low?
I think right around right. I would say 20-ish. I'm not sure they're a top 25 team until I know how they look with this quarterback.
I think Wisconsin's just in the top 25 based, first of all, on reputation.
Yep, absolutely.
First on reputation, you know, they're going to clear a few hurdles and win a few
And they got Jonathan Taylor. I mean, that's,
they got Jonathan
that's good
Taylor.
For a couple wins.
Non-conference wins. They'll beat the Central Michigans of the world and, you know, South Florida. I don't know how good South Florida is this year, but they have them in the opener. But then, you know, then the Michigan game comes and they'll lose that one. And then it'll be, although they play it at Camp Randall.
Yeah.
So have they determined if that's going to be a night game yet, that Michigan game?
Oh, it'll be a night game. Unless it's the 11 a.m. slot that Fox is doing where they now put their biggest primetime game at 11 in the morning, it could possibly be one of those, but I wouldn't think so.
It's going to be primetime.
Yeah.
Would love to go to that game.
So, Ryan, you talked about some people think the Badgers overranked. I saw something really surprising when I was watching ESPN yesterday. On First Take, Joey Galloway, former Ohio State receiver, was talking, and Mike Greenberg made everybody pick one team outside of the AP top 10 that you think could make the college football playoff. Joey Galloway, he picked Wisconsin.
Joey, give me a team outside the top 10 that makes it.
I think we take a look at Wisconsin's another team because everyone's sort of off of Wisconsin right now because of Nebraska. People believe that Scott Frost will have Nebraska ready, sort of picking them to come out of the West. Wisconsin's sitting there with Jonathan Taylor at running back, one of the best running backs in the country, and the offensive line we know will be good. They are a team that if they get hot, they can make a run and get in the playoffs.
Playoffs. I love how Joey
Galloway. I just hope they can beat Minnesota.
I could say the same thing about Wisconsin every year, though. Joey Galloway may not have even looked at the roster, may not have even looked at the schedule, and you could say the same thing every year. I expect their offensive line to be good, and I expect, insert running back's name here, to be really good. That's just how we view the Badgers. Yeah. Solid defense, great offensive line, three of them will be playing on Sundays, and a great running back.
Six guys will get drafted.
But Jonathan Taylor, man, he is the real deal. I want to see him win a Heisman. I want to see anybody but a quarterback win a Heisman. I think this could possibly be the year, but I've actually placed futures on Tua.
This is the worst year for running back. Justin Herbert, Tua Tagovailoa, Trevor Lawrence, God knows who else.
Yeah, but Jonathan Taylor may get 40 carries a game because you got Jack Cohn as your
He'll win the Doak Walker Award. I'm not arguing he beats out Travis Etienne for that, but the Heisman, I would love to see it, but I'm just saying there's a bias there.
Okay, at the end of the season, will Wisconsin, you said they're 19th, Harvey?
Yep, 19th.
Will Wisconsin be ranked higher or lower in the final poll of the 19th?
Higher.
You think they'll be inside the top 10?
I wouldn't say that. I think depending how quarterback turns out and how well the defense develops. I mean, they're a young group, but I think it's a top 15, top 20. I think they are equivalent to the Northwestern squad we saw last year.
Yeah.
make the Big Ten championship.
Tough schedule, though. Tough schedule.
That's
man.
The thing. You got to look at the schedule. And they did get some good news. Former receiver Quintez Cephas cleared on Monday. He's going to return to school. Jury acquits him of sexual assault charges. It's unclear whether he's going to be eligible actually to play in a game. However, they announced that decision in a statement this past week. So you think he's going to make a big difference? Well, A, is he going to be eligible?
Well, first of all, they're going through that right now to check the eligibility. But you had to let him back in school. I mean, if he's acquitted and he's not guilty, I mean, there's probably agricultural students, journalism students, you name business students or whatever. Somewhere in that school, there's somebody acquitted of a crime, and they're allowed to back in school. Mm-hmm. And since he's a high profile guy, why would you keep him out of school?
Right.
I mean, he's no different than anybody else as a student. He's just one of the many other guys. Okay. He just happens to play football. The student thing, you got to separate from playing football. And so there shouldn't have been any question at all that he let back in school. And I don't see why he would be ineligible to play. They're making sure everything is good. They don't want to have to be forfeiting games later on down the road if games he appears in. But, yeah, I'm glad he's back on the team since he's been acquitted by the court of law. And, he just put himself in a bad spot. And I hope that was maybe a lesson for a lot of kids to learn out there. Put yourself in good situations and bad things won't happen.
Yeah, it's kind of a sensitive subject, obviously, because when you talk about women and especially the culture in college football, and we saw what happened at Baylor and some of these schools, you want them to be able to come forward and not,
of course,
keep this thing a secret. And a lot of women and in the past have been afraid almost to come forth with this because the university... Just the way that they're treated, is anybody going to believe them? And then the way that they're treated, especially we've seen it at big schools like Florida State and Miami, because all it's about is winning football games.
Yeah, but if a guy committed a crime and, if a woman feels violated,
be in prison.
You should be in prison. And number one, she should come forward.
Absolutely. But when the evidence says that there's nothing that happened there, then I agree that he should be let back in school. It's a two-way street because I feel so bad for these girls and these women that have had this happen to them in the past. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty tough. It's a subject that I don't really like to talk about because it's brutal and it's really sad and I feel awful for them. And I want them to be able to come forward if something does happen. And I think that it's very important that we discuss that in society. But at the same time, you also sometimes feel bad if a player or just – any male, too, is found innocent because that could have ruined his life right there. Not only him just getting back in school and finishing education, ever playing football again, but that could just ruin your life. And even if you do get cleared and you're innocent, like, there's always going to be that stigma.
I mean, it is. Because now what happens when you think, unfortunately, of Cephas?
That'll always come to mind.
He's going to be mentioned on the national broadcast. Innocent, right. Oh, Cephas with a 15-yard catch at a first down for the Badgers.
Yeah, and
wasn't on the team at the end of the year last year because it's horrible.
It'll be mentioned, but they did their due diligence. And if I can say, first off, like you said, Ryan, obviously sexual assault is a very serious subject, and I'm a big Badger fan, but listen, humanity, that comes first. I stand with survivors, absolutely, like that. See, if you have had a crime committed against you, that's awful.
Yeah, but if he was guilty, should be kicked out.
In a case like this, where it went to court, and I'm proud of UW for doing their due diligence and not sweeping this under the rug. Yes. I'm very proud to be a fan of a college team where when charges like this come forward, even though it's about your best receiver, they didn't say, well, we'll play a wait and see. You can't have that on your team. There's no room for that in college
football. Or in your university.
Football.
Schools take that very seriously. They should.
Exactly. They did their due diligence. He was proven, not guilty by a jury, and now he's back on the team, and I hope he has a great season. I really do.
Yeah, same I do here. Too. And I think he's good, and I think he will. I mean, again, hopefully that sends a little bullet message out to everybody out there who's a student athlete or anybody who's just in general put yourself in good spots.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And as far now that we can move on from the legal aspect of it, now that that's all taken care of, guys, how much does this open up the Badger offense? Because they could have used Quintez Cephas last year. This guy is a talented wide receiver.
I'm worried about who's throwing him the ball because I don't care what anybody says. Mm-hmm. I'm all aboard the Graham Mertz hype train. I want to see him out there week one. I don't care how young he is. I just keep thinking of Trevor Lawrence. And granted, Trevor Lawrence actually didn't start week one for Clemson because Kelly Bryant did. But I just think of Trevor Lawrence holding that national championship trophy. He's probably going to hold the Heisman this year, unless our boy Jonathan Taylor wins with some money, buddy.
We'll see.
And I just keep thinking, like, I don't know. I mean, he's a freshman. He's a true freshman, but I want to see him out there. I'd rather take these bumps and bruises because you're most likely, in my opinion, going 8-4, 9-3 at best this season anyway. I know that that might hurt some people's feelings. I don't see the Badgers, no matter what Joey Galloway or anybody else wants to say, I do not see them playing in the college football playoff this year.
Yeah. I mean, they'd have to have a lot of things go right, and Taylor'd have the big year. But, you know, I mean, the quarterback spot, I mean, may the best man win. I mean, if it is Cone, it's Cone. If it's Mertz, it's Mertz, man. It's just whoever it is.
I just don't want to see them do something stupid like where you split time or you, for some reason, start the year like 2-2 and you're at 500 and then you bring in Graham Mertz and you waste the whole year of his eligibility. Like, if you're going to go with Cone, go with him for the whole season and then bring in that other dude, the third string guy.
Well,
I mean, not
if he's bad, though. Chase, I mean, you're going to have to start. If Cone is bad, then get him out of there before the regular season
starts.
I'm pretty
sure he's bad.
Yeah, I mean, so we've seen them do the splitting time. I remember back in 2009, they couldn't decide between Kurt Phillips and Scott Tolzien, so they kind of split series. If you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. Wait on Mertz. Wait until you think he's ready. But once he's your starter, he's your starter. So I don't think they'll do a ton just trying to pop him in. But that being said, Freems, you might see him play if you go see that Central Michigan game, because there's, what is the rule, 3-4 games you can play now and still take a red shirt?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think, I bet you what Paul Christ will do here, he'll go with the veteran quarterback. He'll go with the guy who's been around.
Yeah.
I think he'll give him the benefit of that. All things equal, he'll go with the guy who's been in the system for a little bit. He'll give him the first crack at it.
And right. I told Cone both fails, of you
then, this. Then they'll move on.
And I told this to Bart. I said, Graham Mertz, 0% chance he's starting week one. And Bodie, it was you. And you said Graham Mertz will be the starting quarterback. You can't hide from it right
now. Oh, no. I thought Graham Mertz would be blowing everybody away in camp. And they would say, you know, he picked it up so quick. He's a prodigy. Listen, it's a pro-style offense. It's a tough system to learn. And from, the reports that have come out have said
but
he was...
True freshman coming in and starting a quarterback in the Big Ten, man. Yeah. That's a tough ask of anybody.
Hey, Jameis Winston did it.
I'm just mentally, you know, it is. It's tough to come in there and start. So I wish Graham all the
far
best.
Far between the Harvey, those guys.
Marcus Mariota did it.
Remember Winston? I remember his freshman game he played in Labor Day. I remember watching him on national TV. It was amazing.
Yeah, Ryan, I got to ask you just real quick, as a Notre Dame fan, did you ever think you'd see Jalen Smith get a long-term NFL deal, 5-year extension, $64 million for him? Is that awesome?
Yeah, that made me really happy. That's one of the guys that I do root for because I thought there was a chance his career would be over and he'd never take a snap in the NFL. So it was awesome seeing him make that money. I really do, man. I'm pro player. I love seeing these guys get paid.
Yeah.
Like, I am all for Ezekiel Elliott getting that money because he is the number one option in that offense. I think he's more important to that team than Dak Prescott. I wanted to see Le'Veon Bell get his money. I mean, I root for these guys because your shelf life in the NFL isn't very long. You know, at best you play 8-9 years.
But if you sign a contract, you sign a contract, Harvey.
No.
I mean, if you sign a contract.
Look, Jalen Smith, an injury robbed him of a lot. Should have been drafted higher, should have made more money. But he said, guys, he's just happy because this moves up his plan to help his mom retire early. That's a good son right there, and that's all I got for what we missed.
I do not root for rich owners like Robert Kraft to get richer. I root for players that bust their ass, these modern-day gladiators, to get their money.
And be good to your mother.
But when they fail, though, the owners are on the hook for those big contracts.
Bill Michaels coming up next, 10-2. The Wendy's Big Show closes things out here, 2-6. Post-game coverage to follow after Brewers look to avoid the sweep tonight. Enjoy your morning, Milwaukee.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.